Okay, so let me tell you what's happening. Next week, we start a new series. It's called The Art of Parenting. And it's not based on this book, but we've got this book by Dennis Rainey and his wife, Barbara, who are just awesome family leaders. We're going to start this series called The Art of Parenting. In your chair is a card. This is the third Sunday in a row that we have put that card in your chair. You don't need three of them, though, do you? So why, I ask, would I give you three of them? Because you know somebody who needs one of them. And you've got three, so, or at least one now. And I want you to memorize this, take a picture of it with your phone, whatever you need to do, and then give it away. Someone, man, parents need help. Amen? Man, it's a hard job in this culture. And, you know, if you're a parent right now, you didn't grow up in the digital age that your kids are having to experience. And we need to stick together, and the Word of God has hope for us. And our kids don't have to walk the same path maybe that some of us walk. They can avoid some of that pain. But I want you to come to the series starting next week, but I want you to give this card to somebody. Invite them. That's what we're doing. Be the friendliest church on earth, not just on Sunday. All right? Be Monday through the whole week. On the back of this card, it describes a class that we're starting up on Tuesday nights. Sign up for that. We've also got a family movie night. I'd love for you to be a part of that. Tell me, anybody excited about the series? I'm not asking for you to clap. I just want to see any hands. Anybody excited? If you're excited and you'd like this book, would you come up and get it right now? All right. Come on. There we go. That's, I'll give one away next week and next service. So now you know. When I ask that question, I'm giving away books, okay? Well, let's pray. And I'm just a parent with you. And my kids now, I forget how old they are. I'm looking at my wife. They're 19, 21, and 22. See, I know it. I don't need any help. Thank you, Debbie. I'm still parenting, though they're in a different stage. And so I'm not standing up here as the expert, but I know the promises of Jesus are true. So let's pray, and together we'll submit ourselves to him and let him speak to us. Lord, we say that you're the perfect father. And so would you teach us what it means as we come into next week, as we prepare our hearts, Lord, would you just speak to us even now and change our definition of what a father is, and let us learn from you. So that whether we're a daddy or a mommy or hope to be someday, or maybe we're empty nesters, Lord, the next generation, you want us to pour into them. And if we know you, then we can do that. So we ask you to speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the series begins next week, but you can't give what you don't have, you know? And so this Sunday is really important in setting up our parenting series. You know, life is a bit of an emotional roller coaster. You know what I'm saying? And how your outlook on life and how you feel about yourself can be impacted by the circumstances around you. And sometimes whether things are going up or down determines how we feel about ourselves and our own identity. And it becomes a roller coaster. And when we let circumstances drive us up and down, then we fall into a life of striving. And a life of striving always results in fear, anxiety, things like doubt, unfulfillment, discontentment, and a sense of overall wanting something that we can't get. And the reason for that is because there's three questions that we're trying to answer. Every one of us, I mean globally, there's three basic questions. Once you know that you're not physically threatened, once you know that you have food and shelter, and those things are taken care of, there's three questions that we ask and are driven by, and they're these. Who am I? Who are my friends? And what's my purpose? Those three questions are questions that we are driven to answer. You might not think consciously about those. You might not wake up every morning and go, who am I? Or what is my purpose? You might not think that, but in reality, those subconsciously drive us. And we have to have answers. And you have an answer to every one of those questions right now. You might not like the answer. You might not like who you think you are. You may feel you're walking in insignificance and don't have any purpose. You may feel like nobody loves you and you don't belong. But you have an answer to those three questions because those are the most important things that are in our hearts. And those three questions can really be boiled down to three words. One is identity. When we say, who am I? We're saying, how do I identify myself? How do I understand my value and my worth and who I am? That's an identity question. Who are my friends? Who's my tribe? Who loves me? Where do I belong? It's a belonging question, really. And then purpose, well, that's an obvious one. Do I matter? Am I significant? And how do I know that I am or I'm not? How do I measure that? What's my purpose? What am I doing here? And I just want to, and there's a million ways you can answer that. And I want to do a little audience participation. Debbie's going to help me again, second time this service. And Michael's going to help me too for the first time. No, you're great. They're going to write things out. We're going to do a little audience participation. And I want to ask you this question. And you're going to have to shout them out. Otherwise, it will not be audience participation. What do people in the world sometimes use? Just brainstorm with me. What are things that people turn to understand their identity or to determine their identity? What do they use in life? Okay, that didn't work as well. There's like eight answers in one. Work. Let's put work on there. Hey, can we open? Hey, Blair, can we open these curtains? I feel better when the sun is shining. Somebody else said something. What? Horoscope. Wow. All right. That's true. What? Social. No, we don't do that. Don't get on my social media. Jeepers. I'll give you a thumbs up for that one. Okay. Is there anybody else? What else? Finances. Politics. Somebody said that? Yeah, what? Appearance. Oh, okay. Debbie means business. She's like, here's your box. Don't clap. She'll keep doing that. Okay, what else? Anything else? Status. Good. How do... All right. Next time, I'm going to get somebody a little more gentle. Okay. You thought... I thought it made it fun, she said. It does, honey. Okay, how do people answer, what are things do people look to for a sense of belonging and to feel loved? What do people look to? What? Family, not bad. What else? Friends. Popularity, yeah. People's responses, other people, others. You got that, people, yeah. What else? I'm going to say it's sex. People use that, all right? That's an awkward question, Debbie. Yes, I do. I don't know where those three kids came from. Okay, what do people look for a sense of purpose? What things do they look to and say, this is my purpose? Last one. Huh? We already got job, that's good. How about fitness? I know people do that. I've seen people, that's another one. Anything else? I wrote some things down too. Kids, ooh, that's good. Yeah, that's a really good one. I have to say that, I'm a daddy. All right, good. Now, I'm gonna pull these back a little bit. Help me with this, Michael. I think I get it. I don't want people to not be able to see me, right? All right, here's the deal. There's not, most of those, let me see. Most of those, yeah, except for horoscopes. None of them are inherently bad, right? I mean, what's wrong with status? There's nothing inherently wrong with status. What's wrong with money? There's nothing wrong with money. Nothing's inherently destructive or bad about any of those except this wacko horoscope stuff, which is just ridiculous, all right? But here's the deal. All those things have something in common. When we place the weight of our identity and our purpose and our sense of belonging on top of them, it's like it's like jumping into a roller coaster without a seatbelt. And it may be okay when you're trending upward, but when it can be wildly scary when you start diving down. And God forbid that you do a loop or two. These things were never designed to bear the weight of our identity. We're never to be the source of our sense of belonging or to define our purpose. Why? Because we don't control these things. I mean, anybody ever, don't raise your hand unless you want to. Anybody ever had, worked faithfully in your job and yet you were still passed over for promotion or you were laid off? Anybody ever seen your investment portfolio go southward instead of northward? Okay, same person raised their hand twice. This guy's, anybody ever committed yourself faithfully to another person only to be betrayed or let down by that person? Yeah. I mean, anybody thrown your life into your kids only to find that, oh, they grow up and they move away? Which is kind of good, actually. But I mean, they grow up and go away, and suddenly it's like forced early retirement. Because now, who are you? See, these things were never designed. I mean, they're good, most of them, but they were never designed to bear the weight of your identity or fulfill your need to belong or your purpose, because we don't control them, and people let us down, and circumstances change. But what else do we have? I mean, these are the building blocks of life. Where else are we going to look for our identity? Where else are we going to look to know that we belong? Where else are we going to find a purpose that's worth giving ourselves to? In John 15, Jesus says, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. When he says he's the true vine, a vine is a source of life to its branches. Jesus says, when he says, I'm the true vine, he's saying, you have to look outside of yourself for a sense of identity and belonging and purpose. It is not within you. And there are a million sources to which you can look. But Jesus is saying, I'm the true vine. I'm the true source. I'm the one place that you can go to find the answers to those three things. Everything else is going to either let you down or take you on a roller coaster. Jesus wants us to get off the roller coaster. And when he says, my Father is the gardener, don't you hear what he's saying? He's like, the gardener owns the garden, and the gardener is the one who wants the best for the garden. Oh, like when I was a neighborhood kid growing up, we would walk home and we would borrow permanently the pomegranates off my neighbor's tree. This guy had this awesome garden, beautiful flowers, and these beautiful pomegranate trees which grew really close to the fence, which we would climb and borrow permanently. I love the fruit of that stuff, but I wasn't the gardener. No, the gardener has this care and this concern. He wants the best for the garden. He wants to see it blossom if it's a flower garden. He wants to see it be bountiful if it's a fruit garden or vegetable garden. And Jesus is saying, hey, I'm the true vine. I'm the one right source for all these questions. And my Father wants to work actively in your life. That's our intent together, is to work actively in your life. God's not far away and he's not distant. And then in verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Paints this picture of dependency. Like, go to the next screen. It has a picture of a grapevine on it. And you see the vine, that big, thick thing. And then you see that little branch that just comes off the vine. And off of that little branch comes this big bunch of grapes. Jesus is drawing, when he speaks this in John 15, he's just finished the Passover meal with his disciples. They're walking from the upper room of someone, a friend's house, and they're going to the Garden of Gethsemane to get together, where Jesus knows that he's going to be arrested by Roman soldiers, which will eventually lead to his crucifixion. But on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, he's talking with his 11 disciples. Judas has already cruised, and he passes a wall covered in vines, but he uses this metaphor that he knows his disciples are very, with which they're very familiar. And he says, I'm the vine. You guys, us people, we're the branches. You know, a branch is only connected at one point. Jesus is talking about an exclusive relationship of dependency that we have upon him and with him. He says, I'm the vine. You're the branch. And he tells us if we want to get off the roller coaster, if we wanna enjoy these, except for that one, if we want to enjoy these but not be controlled by these, he says, you've got to look at yourself as a branch that is exclusively connected to me. I am looking to Jesus for all of my identity. He's inviting me to find it in him, to find my sense of belonging to him, to find my sense of purpose in him. And he's unequivocal in his exclusivity, and because he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you do stay, if you remain in me, if you stay connected to me, if you accept this invitation, you will bear much fruit. It is a promise. Jesus is staking his name, his character, his entire integrity is based upon this promise. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. He's laying it out on the table. And I'll just tell you something. If you're kind of all on the fence or whatever, wondering about Jesus or whatever, I'm like, wouldn't you rather know for sure one way or the other instead of living in limbo? And the only way to know for sure is to go after him and say, I'm going to give you a try. God, I'm going to look to you for my identity, belonging, and purpose. He says he will come through if you remain in him. He wants good things for you. And you notice he's not here criticizing your past. He's not here listing all the ways that you've screwed up previously, all the ways you don't measure up or have fallen short. He's not talking about it. He's just saying, I'm inviting you into a connection with me. And if you remain in it, I'm promising you, your life will bear fruit. And you know what later on, not right here, but in another book of the Bible called Galatians, he describes, or he defines what fruit is, what he considers fruit. He says, I consider fruit to be love. If you want to know love, be more loving, he says, be connected to me. I consider fruit, he says, to be joy and peace and patience and kindness. Don't you want those things? Don't you wish your life emanated and exuded those things and was characterized by those? Faithfulness, self-control, he says, those are the things that he considers fruit. And he makes a promise right here. You stay connected to me like a branch to a vine, you'll see those things growing in your life with ever-increasing abundance. Sometimes I think, well, gosh, you know, what would that look like? Maybe you're thinking that too. I mean, we are in church, right? Does this mean we have to become all religious now? Does this mean we have to start doing everything right, memorize a whole bunch of scriptures that seem obscure to us, learn a whole bunch of stories and all these things of things we have to do to remain in him? And in verse 9, Jesus says, like, whoa, whoa. I don't know what the Greek is for whoa. Whoa, oh my, probably. He says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Listen. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. He's like, hey, whoa, whoa, forget everything you were just thinking about, what you have to do to get this promise. Hey, forget all that list of religious checklists and all that. He says, I love you. the way that the Father loves me. You know what that means? It's like, think about, how much do you think Father God loves Jesus? That much? No, like ginormous. How faithful is Father God in loving God the Son, Jesus? Like, is Father God inconsistent? Is Father God like, well, you know, you really screwed that one up, Jesus, so I'm not loving you so much right now. No, his love was just like pure and consistent and faithful. And Jesus is saying, I'm not talking about religion here, people. I'm talking about inviting you into a relationship. Totally different. And this is a relationship that is characterized by how much I love you. How can I describe what my love is like for you? Oh, you know what it's like? It's like, I love you the way Father God loves me. And let me tell you, the words of man cannot make that real to you. But you ought to ask Jesus, would you speak that into my heart? Would you make that real to me? Because that is one of the most amazing things said in the entire Bible. As the Father loves me, Jesus says, so I have loved you. And then he says, remain in my love. You know, when I was a kid, my dad and I went to in Waco, the Heart of Texas Fair and Rodeo. Huge production. And it had a midway with all the rides and all the carnival barkers and all the food, but it also had a rodeo and it had a livestock show. It, you know, wasn't the size of livestock of, you know, our Fort Worth rodeo, but it also had all these rides. It was a huge midway. And so my dad and I went when I was a little boy. I don't know where my brother and sister were. I mean, I was the favorite, so that probably they were at home. But I don't know why they weren't with us, but I was with my dad, and we got out of the car, and we have this long walk up to this, just this, you know, the entryway, and the closer we get, the more frightened I get. I'm a little boy, right? And because it had seemed really exciting from a distance, but now it just seemed really chaotic and loud, and there were all kinds of smells mished in together, like manure and corn dogs, and you know, and there were people that I could already see the carnival barkers talking on their microphones. You know, you can't understand those people, and so it became really intimidating to me. And my daddy could understand. Could sense that. And he said, hey boy, stay right here. Just stay right here. We're going to have some fun. And I stayed right there. And because I stayed right there, he led me into rides that, you know, were going to be my, you know, age appropriate for me. He took me to games that I could maybe win. He took me into the livestock area and was showing me animals and talking to me about them. And I just was staying right there. And that's what Jesus is saying. I love you. I love you like the Father loves me. Just stay right here. Remain in my love. That's the secret. That's the key. It's not a secret. But it's the key. And he says, he wants us to remain in his love. He wants us to stay close to him. I'm just using the cross as a metaphor right now. He's saying, when it comes to your identity, oh, you know, I want you to enjoy all these things. I made them for you. Okay, sorry, I'm just, it's the one exception, right? I'm gonna give you social media, okay? I'm just knocking out the horoscope, all right? Because these things are okay, right? But they're not for your identity. I want you to find your identity in who I say that you are. I love you the way the Father loves me. And then Jesus, in another passage, calls us his children. The Bible calls us beloved children. You know, the world may say, the world says that you are this or that based upon your job or your grades. You know, you're an A student, or you're a C student, or you're a success, or you're a failure. And it's almost always based on performance. And Jesus says, I want you to work hard in your grades. I want you to work hard at your job, whatever that is. But your identity is as a child of mine. And I want you to stay right here. And I'm going to keep reminding you that you're a beloved child. I know your boss may say this, or people may respond to you on social media this way, but if you stay right here, I'm going to keep reminding you of who you really are, because really, my opinion of you is the only one that matters. Everybody else is just another broken person who's trying to answer those three questions. He says, stay with me and let me be your sense of belonging. I'm not saying don't have friends and stuff like that, but entrust yourself to the people who are staying right here with me, because they're not going to rest their identity and belonging and purpose on you. They're not going to rest their needs upon you, because they're finding their needs in me. And then when you belong and make that your family, that the place that you hang, and that's where you belong, then you're going to experience healthy relationships. Find your belonging by staying right here. And your purpose. You know, Jesus is getting people off the roller coaster. And our purpose in life is to enjoy life off the roller coaster. And through that, God reveals to others that they too can get off the roller coaster. They don't have to be on that. They can stay right here. That's a purpose that lasts. You know, Debbie and I are now empty nesters as of a couple of weeks ago. No. And it is sad. It is sad. I mean, one of the most important human endeavors, certainly the most important human endeavor that we have undertaken together as a couple, was not the starting of Crossbridge, as much as we love you people in this place, but it was these three little ones that we made the fruit of our vow, and that we committed ourselves to, and the first that to whom we get to be the first expression of the Father's love. And then they grow up and they go off. And now you're like, well, now what do I do? Even that is not the place for our identity and our sole purpose. Jesus offers us purpose that transcends the stages of life. That's what he wants us to embrace. And then look what he says in the next verse. In verse 10, he says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Okay, you might be thinking, okay, I knew there was going to be a list of do's and don'ts. I knew there was going to be a checklist of stuff I got to do, ways I got to change my life and all that. No. He's just told you, I love you the way the Father loves me. And my heart's desire is for you to remain in my love. And then he says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Do you understand? The commands now are, well, they're like this. They're like a roadmap. They're like a roadmap that help us navigate all these things. And so you have to wait on me for a second. Now his commands aren't restrictions that restrict our life and our joy. Now they are commands that help us stay right here as Jesus navigates us through life. And so we look at money the way he wants us to look at money. And so it doesn't grab hold of our soul. It doesn't take over. It doesn't control us. And so his commands, as we keep them, help us navigate these things that are tempting to us to use. I'm not opposed to social media. I'm on social media every now and then too, okay? But Jesus' commands help me avoid using social media as my, or the responses of others, as my source of identity or belonging or purpose. His commands are like a roadmap through a minefield that help me avoid the heartache and the heartache that others experience. All his commands are for our benefit. There, you see, when my dad told me to stay right here, it's not a passive staying. It's an active staying. Staying right here means, hey, I'm going to be walking through the fair. So you're going to have to actively stay right here. It's not like, okay, Jesus, I'm going to remain in your love. I'm just going to not go to work. I'm going to expect checks to come in the mail. And I'm going to expect you to do everything. I'm just going to stay right here and binge on Netflix or whatever. No, that's a passive thing. Jesus is going somewhere. And he's saying, hey, you stay right here. Actively walk with me. And my commands are all for the sake of your avoiding the landmines of life. And then, I love this. If you thought, wait a second, there's got to be a catch in this. Why is he doing all this? Why is he offering this? He knows us so well. So he answers that in verse 11 when he says, these things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Why does someone parent? Why does someone adopt a child? Why does someone foster a child? Is it so they can have a little someone to wash dishes? Mow the yard? No, we do it because we were made for love. And I think about the greatest joys in Debbie's and my married life are memories of and experiences now of loving these three girls and sharing their lives with them. It brings us joy. We want to do it, you know? We want to be close to them. And why is that the case? It's the case because it's how we were made. It's how God is. And he says, the reason I'm doing this is because I love being with you. And I want my joy to be made full in you. There's nothing he loves more than when we stay right here and we get to experience all that he planned for us. He's got a dream for your life, and he wants to dream it all. And your prayer, my prayer ought to be, oh God, I don't want just part of your dream. I want your whole dream. I don't want just a piece of what you planned for me. I want everything you planned for me. And I believe you, God, that and when we experience those things, it brings him joy and it brings us joy and it brings us together because we're staying right here. You know, this week, I forget how I got hold of this song, but somebody sent me a song and it's so good because, you know, Jesus is saying that you're a beloved child. Jesus is saying, hang with my people who are my beloved children. And Jesus is saying, walk with me, stay right here, and let me show you your purpose. But we have these voices. There's at least two or three voices that we hear besides Jesus. One is our own inner voice that often castigates us and tells us how good we aren't, tells us how bad. It's a condemning voice that emanates from within us. We also hear the voice of our enemy. We have a spiritual enemy who wants to manipulate events in our minds so that we listen to that condemning voice. And then the world has a voice that says, if you don't look like this or whatever, then you're not good enough. If you don't make this amount of money, then you're not that. Or if you've had this happen to you, whatever this may be, then you're washed up or you're damaged goods. There's all these voices. But the one voice that we need to listen to is his. And I want to play a song. And maybe it'll speak to you the way it spoke to me this week.
Voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single and every low. Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
Life group leaders or our prayer team to just find a place around here real quick. Or if you're just someone who's willing, like you can relate to that song because you've been in that place of not believing, but the Lord's revealed who you are to you, and you're willing to pray over someone else, I just want you to step on out. You're deputized. We're just going to care for one another right now. As we sing this last song, it may be the day before you leave. You know, there's a million places you could go to church. And I know almost, you know, a lot of folks in town, and I'm good buddies with a bunch of pastors. And I know their hearts, and what we want to be is we want to be places. You know, there's just one church in San Antonio. We're just an expression of it. And we want to be a place where we can let some of the walls down and where we can walk out changed, where we can receive power from the Holy Spirit. And so, as we sing, if you want someone to pray a blessing over you, maybe you've come through the storm and you're on the cusp of believing or following him, but you just need someone to pray and to shut the door on some of the past, I just want to invite you to come be blessed. Just receive prayer. You don't have to tell them all your stuff. If you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, any one of these people can tell you. Or if you just want, again, I just want to encourage you. Maybe you've never come before, and men, we're the worst at it. But maybe you've never done it before. Maybe today, though, is the day that you receive ministry, just a blessing. And let someone pray that peace of Jesus. Maybe you need to let them know that you've decided to stay right here with Jesus. Whatever it is, as we sing, You Come Now and Be Prayed For.